Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. Today we have Justin with us. Justin, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So I reached out to you to bring you on my podcast because I've been following you for a little bit. And for any of my listeners who listened to episode, I'm going to say 12 with Chris Crutchfield. I recently watched the live with you and Chris, and I think Joe and Alec.
Yep.
I'm getting everybody right.
Yep.
You guys had a very riveting conversation. And a lot of my listeners have reached out to me saying that they love the episode with Chris. And it made me want to reach out to you because the things that you have to say, especially on Instagram, someone's got to say it, right? And you actually, did you start an organization called We Are Change?
No, I didn't start it, but I picked up the Orlando chapter. About 9 to 10 years ago, and just kind of took that over with someone who was not really doing it anymore. But I was really inspired by that organization, but I didn't found it or anything like that.
Well, tell us about it.
So it's really, We Are Change is one of the groups that I latched onto when I first woke up and fell into the rabbit hole. I was obviously upset about all of the things that we were taught incorrectly. So I wanted to get out and educate people. We Are Change is a nonpartisan, decentralized, independent media and journalist organization. So it's basically activists and journalists running around exposing the corruption in government, confronting politicians. As many people, if you're familiar with Luke Radowski of We Are Change, that's what he's, got kind of popular for and got their name on the map. It was originally birthed out of like the 9/11 truth movement, but it's expanded into just a media organization that covers any corruption, encourages people to be the change they wish to see. If we're basically trying to protect our rights, protect our environment, protect our health, anything of that nature. And, I saw the need for real media and journalists asking real questions, because as we all know, that doesn't really exist anymore. So it inspired me to see him sticking the microphone into Henry Kissinger or John Kerry or Hillary Clinton's face. And that's what really inspired me to do what I've been doing. And if you look at the We Are Change Orlando YouTube page, you'll see the host of topics that that the organization covers.
So do you listen to The High Wire or watch
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I talk about The High Wire a lot on my show. Thankfully, somebody maybe 3 years ago now sent it to me. Someone I went to high school with too, in a very liberal city in upstate New York. And he was like, hey, let me know what you think of this. And I've watched every episode ever since. My husband watches it every week now.
So I almost wore my High Wire shirt for the interview. I did. I may wear it this weekend for an event because the Children's Health Defense bus is coming to town. And I was like, that's a good time to wear my High Wire shirt. So I may do that. But yeah, it's a great show. That's the real, again, that's the definition of being your own media and getting the word out there. I mean, how crucial was Dell during COVID, especially for people just figuring these things out? I mean, that was like one of the only real sources you could go to for information about COVID and the vaccine, that was kind of popular and had a good voice and a good, production behind it. Everything else was just kind of splintered off and you'd be lucky to find it.
I think that if that person from my high school hadn't sent that to me and I started listening, I could have been one of those people lining up to get the shot. Oh my God, I don't want to kill my mom.
Right.
Sometimes I do, but you know what? Not that way.
Right. Figuratively.
But you got little kids. Like you said, you have a 4-year-old. My son's 5 and I have a 1-year-old. So it's like, yeah, you get these fear-mongering things around you and you just want to do what's right. So, right. The High Wire and Del Bigtree and Jeffrey Jackson and Aaron Seary all had a huge role to play in my waking up, in addition to Chris Crutchfield that you interviewed with, because I was asking him a lot of questions in the beginning and he just thankfully responded to me. I mean, I'm sure he gets lots of questions, but he did, you know, write back to me or record stuff back to me. And one of the things I remember him saying was, because I said, listen, I was a complete liberal. Mm-hmm. And then I went over to the Trump train and it was like, oh my God, I'm losing all these friends because I'm now like, make America great again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then talking to Chris, he was like, no, Trump had a role and he played it very well. And there was a post that you had maybe yesterday, I saw it. And I was like, oh, that line that Chris said to me, Trump had a role and he played it very well, like yeah. totally played into this post that you had. Because I didn't quite see it at the time. And then maybe when the vaccines rolled out, I was like, well, maybe this was the role. Mm-hmm. And then now as we have the whole Israel and Palestine conflict, I'm like, yeah, no, there was a much broader thing going on.
Right.
And it's we're kind of ignorant to think that it's just, oh, this happened to happen here. This happened to happen here. Like, no, there was a laid out plan. I'm starting to see more and more.
Yeah, and Chris is a great person for that. You know, talk about someone who will take you all the way down the rabbit hole. And really, he does a good job of explaining it, too. Mm-hmm. It's just really important, I think, to go back and peel back those other layers, because then you kind of understand how long this has been going on, how many different institutions of society it kind of stretches into. And I think you get over that initial, oh, well, this can't be because, you know, it'd be too big of a conspiracy. There'd be too many people in on it. But when you really break it down, it's not super complicated. You've just got a lot of people, take one industry, the medical industry, you know, repeating what they were told, wear the mask, do this, stay safe. And you've got a lot of well-meaning people doing the wrong thing. And then you go to uncover like the genetically modified food science or the science behind the vaccines or the science behind this. And you find this pattern. And like Dell says, you know, when we talk about fluoride, GMOs, vaccines, it's really the same formula. You've got smart people, well-meaning people that have been put into like a system that they kind of just have to toe the line. And if they don't, mm-hmm. they lose their job, they lose their funding. It's really unfortunate. So I guess that's what we're all here to do, is kind of flip those things back over and turn those stones over.
And that makes a lot of sense. So for myself, I've been a government employee for 16 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this whole waking up, I blame Chris as part of it, but is like, wow, I have wasted 16 years in a cubicle, not doing anything creative, just come here, sit here. When I see things that are wrong with, you know, the operations that are going on and say something, they're kind of like, oh, hush, child. Okay,
right,
we'll
right.
just set up a monthly meeting about that. We're going to set up a work group, right? And then nothing ever gets done. And I literally for the last, like, well, before I went out on maternity leave that I've never stopped maternity-ing from, I was like, no, here's how we can fix this problem. I can fix it in a day. And they're right. like, no,
yeah,
we don't want to fix the problem. And so, and you're right with the funding, everything is funding. And here mm-hmm. we worked for Cuomo and I saw firsthand deals that got done because they were Cuomo's buddies. They yep. had no experience. We had to step in and, you know, so that was more money on the taxpayers, just more money, more money, more money, more money. And now you're not only paying a contractor that has no experience, but now you're paying overtime for state workers. And it's mm-hmm. like, if this is just this agency, and I've worked for four different agencies, and it happened in all of them.
Yeah, that's just like one example.
Extrapolate that with all the state government offices right. and then all the federal offices and county and all that. And then, yes, like you said, the medical field.
Yeah.
Which it's just crazy. So the reason I brought you on today is like the information that we're given in school and then in the media, right? Mm-hmm. So that we got like kind of two platforms that we get our information from, growing up in school and then in the media. How do we, as homeschooling parents, or even not homeschooling parents, but most of the people listening to this are thinking about homeschooling or homeschooling currently, say like, this is the information I'm going to give my kid, or decipher this is truth, this is not, or things like, you know, I don't want to go into something that's happening today because it's too like raw, but something like
right.
the JFK assassination, or like a great video that you have talking to the mayor and commissioners about NASA and, you know, what they're doing with the funding for the ISS program.
Right.
Things like that, like landing on the moon. How do we, or 9/11, how do we present this information to our children when we know that there are things that are not being correctly told to us, but then you also don't want your kid to be like, you know, like a, like Encino Man, you know, walking out when they're 18 into real life, like not understanding what other people are talking about. How, right. Where do we toe this line?
I think it's a great question, and it's so ironic that you said JFK, because it brings me to a JFK quote. In one of his most famous speeches, he says, I have the full confidence in the American people, basically to make the right decisions whenever they are fully informed. And he's talking about the press and getting the right information to people. And I have that always stuck with me, because I've learned that, like, when you arm people with knowledge about their medicine, the medical products they're putting in their body, their foods, they go to the store, now they're reading the labels and they're better equipped and they make the right decisions. They don't support that big company that was, you know, poisoning the water or enslaving people. They are sending their money off to another foreign country. They don't support that politician anymore. So it's like, that translates to the kids as, if we put all the information out on the table, I'm confident that when they're fully informed on, like, all sides, that they'll choose the right thing. You know, take the vaccine thing, for example. If you showed them, okay, here's the slogan, safe and effective, saved millions of lives, one of the best medical advancements of society. And then you're like, now let's see where the evidence is to support that claim. That's a really good line I like to use too, is, okay, here's the claim. Where's the evidence to support it? And then you go start looking. And then you find out that Del Bigtree and Bobby Kennedy have sued the CDC and HHS, and they haven't done any studies in 30 years. And they haven't tested them together. And they only test them for 2 to 5 days. So there is no science, really, you know, when you break that all down. Okay, so now that safe and effective thing is just a slogan. And I'm confident that the kids, when they see that, they will go, that's BS. And this makes sense. Because when you're given it all, I think it, we can use logic and understand the propaganda, the BS from what's real. But the problem is we're fed one narrative and everything else is said to be, those are crazy people, those are conspiracy theorists, that stuff's censored. It's very hard to find that information online. So I think we just got to lay all the cards out on the table for them is basically the answer. And then let them decide and talk through it, I guess.
I agree with you. How do we as parents find all the cards?
That's the hard part.
The Tuttle Twins had a really good ad for their history books. And Connor Boyack, who's been on the show before, he talked about in the ad, in textbooks in school, they talk about slavery. They only point out that America had slaves. They right. don't talk at all about all the slavery going on in all of the world. So they make you feel like America's terrible, but they don't put it in context of this was a societal norm. Yes, it's bad, but it was a societal norm. I mean, that would be like someone in 100 years coming to us saying, you owned dogs. You had a dog just sitting in your house all day.
Right.
You put it in a crate ever. Or you ate cows. You know, like it's a societal norm today. Is it right? Is it wrong? We don't know, but it's a societal norm. So how do we find all the cards to lay out to our kids to be like, this is all the stuff about slavery? You know, like,
I think it's the hardest. That's the hardest piece of it right there. And it's become harder because I will say 10 years ago when I fell into this rabbit hole, you could go on YouTube and you could go on Google and you could type in what you were looking for and it would come up. It wouldn't give you the WHO or the vaccine.gov and just fill you with propaganda for 8 pages. So I think what people have to do is you've almost got to become detectives again. You've got to learn the alternative search engines, whether it be DuckDuckGo or, you know, Yandex or these other websites. Some of those are even becoming compromised. Heck, I'm even telling people at this point to go to TikTok. Isn't that crazy that You can go to TikTok.
I was banned, Justin. I've been banned. I'm very bitter. My audience knows.
Keep creating more accounts. They can't stop
they
you.
They will not let me. Do you really? Have a workaround?
There should be a workaround.
Like, no matter where I sign in from, oh it gosh. Is like, we
that's
know
good.
It's
that's,
you. You have
that's,
been
that's really good on them. So they're very strict, but there's still so much truth on there. I literally tell people, you can go to the TikTok search bar and type in something and literally get more accurate results on a topic than Google. So it's almost become,
I believe it,
an avenue to get, because there's so much information over there. There's a lot of garbage, but you can actually find information on there. So yeah. I would literally tell people to look on alternative search engines on TikTok. Reach out to people like me and you, people who are collecting this information. You know, I've got resources that are saved for years now that you would never find Googling. Like, I've got a vaccine guide PDF that I'd be happy to send people. It literally lays out all the frequently asked questions. NVIC, the National Vaccine Information Center.org, that's a great website. LearnTheRisk.org. It's very kind of scattered, and there's not like a very well-packaged answer for that, but you really just have to become a detective.
Yeah.
You know, make friends with people who have the resources, start finding out how to get them, and it will lead you to more. The Tuttle Twins.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm an affiliate for them, so I'm glad that you like them. I've enjoyed
the books.
They
talk about the money system. I mean, they go into like real history and what the Federal Reserve is really about. I mean, that's good stuff. I haven't read all their stuff. I can't like say 100% that they're the best thing, you know, ever, but I've seen some great clips from them.
Yeah,
so it's encouraging.
I haven't gotten their history books because my son's only 5, so I figure that's going to be later on down the line. But just the books for the age 5 to 11, you know, we can read the book. He likes the illustrations. He likes, you know, their dialogues. So, you know, then we'll have a conversation about, you know, well, why do you think capitalism is good? Like, let's talk about ice cream shops. Why would you go to this ice cream shop versus that ice cream shop?
And that's a really good point you just made me think of, is asking questions. I think that's because I've always learned that's one of the best things with trying to get people to listen to some of these topics that are a little resistant. It's best to just ask questions. And I think that's best with kids too, because then you can just say, hey, what do you think about this? And then what do you think about this? Their raw mind is now going to ponder both topics like objectively, without a bias. And again, I have confidence that, you know, you've looked down some of these rabbit holes. When you look up the official story of the government sometimes, whether it's some of these attacks or some of this science, you're like, this is actually like embarrassing that we believed in. It's a little laughable. So it's very simple when you lay the cards out.
Yeah. Okay, have you checked out episode 21 with Lindsay, creator of Treehouse Schoolhouse? I asked Lindsay on the show because I fell in love with her Instagram page. She is like the homeschool family I strive to be. Lindsay was homeschooling even before she had kids, homeschooling as a nanny right out of college. Over the years, she has developed super creative ways to help kids learn that can be fun for the whole family. From products like her morning time and daily rhythm and her nature studies to alphabet cards, her Rooted Family Bible curriculum, which is coming out soon, and a Connect Christmas, which is right around the corner, hint, hint. And what is a connected Christmas, you ask? Well, it's an invitation to gather your family and celebrate beauty and delight through festive carols, stories, poetry, art, baking, and handcrafts. It's about family, and it's about connecting hearts to the heart of Christmas. From preschool to middle school, there are variations and activities for all ages to celebrate together. Let them know I sent you by using the link treehouseschoolhouse.com/thehomeschoolhowtopodcast, and you can get 10% off all products. You can use the link and code in my show's description.
So that's what makes me feel good about people figuring out. I'm seeing kids these days even going on TikTok and sharing stuff, and they're getting a compact, you know, what used to be a 4-hour documentary on YouTube. They've taken the best clips, added some visuals and some little things to it, and now it's this little compact 2-minute video, and it's being shared, and it's the history of the Federal Reserve or what have you. And I'm like, wow, this is really evolving fast, and information is you know, cleaner and more packaged and just going and going. I think that's why they want to ban that platform, like deep down.
I'm very jealous. I wish I were. Not that I want to give
that
like
much time over there, but when I peek in,
I
see how
much China all my information. But I figure they've got everything they want anyways. So
yep.
whatever they can't get from TikTok, they can get it from Instagram or, you know, Facebook. So, yeah, I am jealous, man. I keep trying. If anybody knows how to get back, it literally says every time
That's
I try
crazy.
To,
you'll have different- to maybe try signing up. Try signing up with a new name, new email address from someone else's computer.
I tried from my son's iPad. That's wow. how desperate I got. And it was like, no, we know it's, I don't know
oh,
how.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I may be able to find something for you.
Yeah.
I'll ask
bizarre.
Around.
Bizarre. so, okay. So getting into things like, I mean, there are things that you wouldn't even know were a conspiracy, right? Although I feel like the homeschooling community, you're homeschooling because of some distrust with the government. Like, so I feel safe enough to talk about politics on my show because I feel like whether it's the vaccine issue, I'm in New York. So it's like you mm-hmm. can't send your kid to school unless you want everything. You know, are okay with everything on the CDC schedule. Right. Then there's, you know, the total like gender ideology and that sort of thing mm-hmm. going on in the schools. And then we have everything else from, I mean, I've even thought of like shelter in place drills, right? Like what is yep. that? Okay. It's sad that we're sending our kid to a place that a shooting has happened and could potentially happen again. But that's like right. one avenue of it. The next avenue is what are you doing to them psychologically when you're
Bingo.
Doing shelter in place drills every year or twice a year.
And I'm sure you've seen the memes, like there's so much to that. You can keep going. Your list is just the beginning. I mean, you could yeah. say making them stand in those single file lines and the way that how rigorous the schedule is. Think about the comparisons to prison, telling you when you can eat, telling you when you can stand up and use the bathroom, you know, bussing you in on those same exact buses that they take people to prison on. It's really kind of strange. And then now they've become even more like prisons because of the shooting.
And government work.
Yes. You know, Rockefeller said it. They wanted obedient workers, not critical thinkers. So when you go to school and it's obey, 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 don't question authority, fall in line. Heck, that was enough for me to say, I don't know if I want this for my son. And now you throw in the masks, the vaccines, the gender stuff. It's like, this is a really, really toxic, you know, environment that seems to be teaching like everything upside down, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not as worried about shootings, but it still worries me because they do allow them to happen, you know, and they really do happen sometimes. And it's like, you just can't trust it because it's whether it's terrorists or the government, it still could potentially happen.
Right. And even just the drills themselves, what are you telling mm-hmm. your kid every time that they have a shelter in place drill? Yeah. Maybe the little ones don't know why they're having it. So it's not doing a lot to them then. But as they get older, middle
right.
school and high school knows why we're having a shelter in place drill. And it's to tell you guns are scary. Your neighbor can turn against you. So you better trust authorities. We're here to protect you.
Do you remember the one our parents had? They had the nuclear hide under your desk because there's going to be a nuclear blast. For one, hiding under
work.
Your desk is what's that's going to do, you know, right? And second, that was like a, that was a very Cold War psychological. The Russians could get us, you know, we could at any time we could be at war. And it's like now our kids have that, what you just described, but it's the same exact thing. It's like trauma-based mind control, fear. It's not a good thing. There's just another long, you know, another reason we can add to that long list of maybe find yourself a little charter private thing or do a homeschool, you know, find something unique.
Yeah. And I think,
you know,
homeschooling has become so huge. I just read an article last week that was saying how it tripled. In the last couple of years. In fact, I keep meaning to make some sort of Instagram reel about this because it was talking about how they have people like John Oliver and, you know, all the mainstream liberals, news mm-hmm. sources talk about how only stupid people homeschool and you're just making your kid racist and yada, yada. You're not equipping them for the real world.
Racist? How can they become racist?
Because
like
when you have them in your home, they're not being exposed to different cultures, different races. They're not being taught the like social emotional learning thing of like learn.
Do they think they don't go outside?
Yeah. Learn other people. Well, I think they're thinking of like little podunk towns that don't, you know, only see tumbleweeds. But it's like, okay, well, where those kids go to school, what different cultures are they seeing anyway? So.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's based in reality. Because, you know, for instance, like my son's not in school yet, and he sees people from all walks of life, whether it's at theme parks, grocery stores, parks, playgrounds. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the, and it's just that goes back to those old like myths, you know, oh, homeschool, your kid's going to be weird, or,
yeah,
you know, the Amish are strange. Well, now I think the Amish and the people who that homeschool are the people who figured it out, and everybody else is weird. So like, it's just funny how that works.
Yes. When you look at the amount of kids that are so confused about life, and I was just listening to, I don't know if you've ever heard of Andy Frisella.
He's that name before. Yeah.
He's got a podcast and he just basically screams at things, but he's very, you know, hardcore, and he has a line of, you know, nutritional products, and he's succeeded in business ownership and entrepreneurship. But so he has this podcast and he just talks about like how, I don't need this money. I just think you people are ruining the world, so I have to tell you all about it. But anyway, the episode he had on recently was that a college kid was on a football team and didn't show up to practices for weeks, and then had a meeting with a coach that he failed to go to. So he goes into the assistant coach, maybe it was, and records him. And the assistant coach is screaming at him the whole time, which is how sports were when, I think I'm a little bit older than you going by the numbers on your email, but that's how sports were back in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. You don't show up, you're cut, you get screamed at, like you have repercussions. And this kid is expecting to just walk in, videotape the coach yelling at him, and then wanting to share it around social media so that he can sue the guy and make a buck off of that. And it's just like, shows the mentality of the kids that are in school today. Like, I can take the easy way out. I cannot show up to practice and then give a gotcha to anyone that tries to tell me that I'm wrong for just not showing up because of mental health issues or whatnot. Not to diminish the mental health part, but like, even if you have a mental health issue, you can call your coach and say, this is what's going on in my life. You don't just not show up, you know? And right. I think that's where the issue with the kids are today. So to say that homeschoolers are weird, I mean, it's like, what is coming out of the schools today?
Yeah. And I mean, we all went to, I don't know if you went to public school, but I did. Yeah. And there was plenty of different kids and weirdness and flavors coming out of public school. It wasn't like public school just made everyone into this. It's strange because we do talk about how they make us into like kind of the same thinking and the same sort of drones. But at the same time, everybody's completely different and has a different environment and different friend group and neighborhood and parents. So it's like, yeah, they're kind of just silly arguments. I think it's, you know, they want us in the system as much as possible. You know, have you ever heard the theory that, so Aaron Russo was a filmmaker. He made the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
Okay.
He also made a movie called Freedom to Fascism about the money system in our world, the Federal Reserve Bank and all this. Okay. He knew Nick Rockefeller, one of the Rockefeller family members. And he told them at one point, not only about 9/11 and what really happened, but he also told him one day, because he befriended them over the years, and he said, what do you think women's liberation was about? And he was like, what do you mean? He was like, it was when women got the right to vote. And he was like, no, it's not, you idiot. And he goes, we funded that. He goes, we funded that because we knew that if we could get the other half of the country, all the women in the workforce, we could tax them. Mm-hmm. And number two, we could get the child into the government schools sooner and begin indoctrinating them and taking them away from the family, splitting up the family system, taxing both parents, all part of this new world order that they want to put us in. And it's just really interesting when you think about that stuff, because it, sure, women did get rights and there were very genuinely passionate people out there fighting for the right thing. But then money comes in and funds it for a totally ulterior motive. It's just crazy to think about, you know, and why and how early they want us in the, our kids in these systems.
And you can say the same thing about, I've talked about that very thing on my podcast before. Mm-hmm. And you can say the same thing about even like the LGBTQ community, right? Like, you wanted the right to marry. Okay, well, right. So you fought for that. You protested for that. Well, let's think about even marriage. A long time ago, marriage there was no place for the state or government in a marriage. You didn't.
I'm fighting for the right to get the government's permission to tell me to do something.
Right. You married with a Bible. It was part of a relationship with God and the Bible and your spouse. And you just wrote it in a Bible. There was no $100,000 wedding and getting the state's permission to do it just so you can get maybe a tax break. I didn't see a tax break after I got married. We were taxed up the butt. So, and then, or maybe you got some health insurance, but so what? So they could like pump more things into your arm and give you cancer. So like, when you think of this, like we're fighting for the right to marry, like what are you fighting for? You're literally fighting for the government to be a part of your life that you have to ask them permission to go home to that person every night. I mean, that's...
I know. You know, you could even make this argument. Some of the vaccine people will make this argument, and it's a valid argument, because what are we fighting for sometimes? Exemptions. Exemptions from what? Being exempt from them taking away my medical autonomy. I shouldn't have to fight to ask for an exemption. We should just not do it, you know? Right. So, but unfortunately, that's the system we're in, and we have to, if we don't get the exemptions, people will be forced. So they've almost forced us to pick the question option instead of just the no option. But it's just, sometimes it's just part of it. You have to kind of play the game and pick and choose your battles with that.
Man, that is, there is so much, and you're right. Like you said earlier, when you look at it, you see how ridiculous the thing even is. Something like, I was reading in the comments of one of your posts earlier, someone had written about 9/11 and the planes, a plane actually hitting a building. And they were like, have you ever looked at a YouTube video of a plane hitting a flock of birds and the damage that does to the nose of a plane?
Oh, yeah.
So when you think of what would happen, I mean, just simple things like that, or like building 7 is even easier. Like how did that just control demolition collapse before the newscaster, like the newscaster said building 7 collapsed while it's still in the background
and then 25 minutes. Yeah.
I mean, there's so much, and I get it though. If you don't have the time to look, and I think that's part of the government's plan too, is to make us so busy that we don't have time to not only research, but even think about the surface of it. Like, of course, America was the only one to have slaves because we don't have time to consider any other option.
I had a friend, a coworker, who's not with us anymore, actually, rest in peace to him. But I remember telling him one time, I said, you know, don't you, have you ever looked into XYZ, or look at that documentary I sent you? And I remember he looked at me, you know, it was kind of like a busy day. He was kind of flustered. And he was like, man, I don't have time for that shit. He was like, you know, I got to take the kids to practice. I got this, I got that. And I was just like, man, that was a real answer. And you're right. Like, I get it. People are stuck in the rat race. We've got debt and kids practice and all these things going on that you don't have time to go re-research everything you should have been taught correctly in this 12 years of indoctrination. I'm sorry, I mean schooling. So it's like, what do you really expect? So I'm like, I'm very grateful for when I figured it out, because I was, had a pretty cush job. You know, I was in college. I had a lot of free time. I was just with my roommate hanging out. The internet was really starting to take off. And there was the YouTube suggested videos after my uncle sent me stuff. And I was able and had the time to digest and kind of learn all those things. And that's unfortunately what like everybody's gonna have to do, you know?
So is that your wake up, your uncle sending you the stuff? Because right now I'm the crazy aunt that sends things to my nephew.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know what you're going to, who you're going to spark, because he sent this to me and I bet he had no idea that my entire life would change and I would take on a whole new passion and, you know, direction. The way that I met my partner was because of activism. So like, I could even tell him like, the reason I have my son is because of you. Like you kind of like changed the whole direction of my life. And it, obviously for the better. You know, I joke with people, I say, if, you know, becoming a conspiracy theorist was so bad, all I did was stop watching mainstream media, you know, stop thinking so negatively, eating poorly, you know, cleaning up your mind and your gut and trying to make the world a better place. I mean, if that's a dangerous conspiracy theorist, then I'm guilty as charged, you know?
Yeah. So what documentary did he send you, or what did he send you to initially?
It was actually about aliens.
Yeah.
It was Dr. Stephen Greer. It was called What's Really Going On, Parts 1-4. And it was about aliens, but it was also about how they were potentially hiding free energy technology so they can like levitate crafts, how they built the pyramids, a whole host of things that they could do. And they're hiding all of that from us because they can sell us oil and tell us it's going to run out, you know, and they can use scarcity and control our resources and charge us money. When in reality, we could, you know, levitate our craft over to the next town. We could not have power bills and water bills, but they keep all these things on us so that we're tied down and too busy to figure out our true potential, our true history. And I think when I was like, they're hiding this secret technology, and then the families that were doing it were also controlling our money and planning the wars. It was just like, it was just this cascade of events. And I found out that these people really were like, the world is a stage, like a lot of people say. You know, we don't go to war why they tell us. And, you know, our money is devalued by like 99% since the inception of that bank. It's just a really crazy story, the true story. And it's also more fascinating. You know, I've told people 100 times that this is way more interesting. And history and science class was kind of boring to me. I wasn't that interested. Mm-hmm. But now the universe and our money and our history is more fascinating than ever. You know, I'm just now learning about Tartaria. And I'm about to read this new book called The One World Tartarians by James W. Lee. And this is about an entire civilization that they've erased from history. And we believe that they may have had the hidden knowledge to build these structures and these cities and these, you know, magnificent buildings that they claim they built with a horse and buggy, but we can't even replicate today with technology and modern machinery. It's really fascinating. And just to encourage everyone to look more into that, my friend's got a movie coming out called Old World Order by Hibbler Productions. If you look up Hibbler Productions on YouTube, he's got a host of films he's made. But this one's going to be really good. And I think it's going to crack open our true history. And it'll be a good one.
Yeah, I just heard him on Sam Tripoli's Tinfoil Hat, actually.
Oh, great.
And I think I actually purchased one of his previous documentaries because Hibbler sounded really familiar, but I listened to him on, and the stuff he was saying made so much sense. How would they have gotten a horse and buggy? Think just about the amount of water the horse would have needed to go from this distance, you know, this location to that location, that entire distance. Where would the water have come from to make sure the horse could sustain that? And I'm like,
have you ever been to, have you ever visited any of these pyramids or anything in Mexico or in any other country? When you act, I've seen one. And when you see one and you see the precision and the size, you know right away that they didn't pulley this up with slaves and donkeys. Like, you just know. And the doors and the steps are the size of, for like, you know, someone that was like 10 or 20 feet tall. It's just really crazy stuff. So, I mean, definitely we're lied to about something there, and I'm curious to see some more when that film comes out.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense because I've talked a lot, like my main go-to on how boring school was when I talk on the podcast is, I know they talked about the Incas and Mayans, but I don't know what they really said, the Aztecs, Incans, and Mayans, but that probably was the coolest stuff, and they're just not telling us the reality of it.
The full truth. Yep.
Yeah. I never made that connection.
I think the pyramids were like energy harnessing devices, you know? They may have been put here by whoever put us here. I don't know. But there's just so much more to it, you know? The underground cities, potentially hidden continents. I mean, there's just so much out there. It's so much more interesting.
And so that sounded crazy to me too. Like when it first started coming out that like, there are tunnels and children are, you know, basically trafficked through these tunnels. I'm like, no, nobody would do it because I wouldn't do it and nobody I know would do it. But then you have to kind of get to this point where you're like, well, how do I treat cattle or chickens? You know, like my chickens stopped laying eggs for me. So I'm ready to unleash them into the woods because chicken feed is expensive. So why would I feed these chickens that don't produce any eggs for me? So I'm ready to send them off into the woods and have them be coyote food.
Right.
So like, when you think in terms of like the elite, think of us in that manner. Like, you're not producing anything for me. Like, I don't want you releasing carbon dioxide into the world that's going to destroy the world for us and our children and grandchildren. You know, and when you get to that point, you're like, oh, all right, I might understand a little bit better. And then we were watching a show probably on Netflix about like something about tunnels, Marvels or something like that. And it just goes into all the tunnels in all the different countries and how elaborate these tunnels are. Like, they are cities under the world. And so I'm like, I thought this was a conspiracy theory. They've got a whole Netflix show about it. Sorry, I was sick last week. I had laryngitis.
Oh, it's okay.
But I'm like, they're putting this on Netflix. Of course they're trafficking children through these.
Oh, who knows what else? It's really crazy how much they have put out on in the public's eye now. They kind of, and you know, a lot of people believe, and I think this may be true, that they do kind of tell us things first. They like have this revelation of the method kind of code of ethics. I don't know how they could have ethics, but they have a code. They kind of have to tell us things. That's why the 9/11 was put in movies before it happened.
Hey friends, thank you for checking out this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you haven't already, please check out episode 24 with Connor Boyack, author of the Tuttle Twins book series. As you guys know, if you listen to me regularly, I have been reading those books well before I became a podcast host. I read them with my son. He just turned 5. Check out my link, thehomeschoolhowto.com/Tuttle. That's how they will know I sent you, so I can get a little bit of credit. And then you get credit when you put in promo code Cheryl40. That is CHERYL40. Get 40% off book series for ages 5 through 11. These books are so awesome because they talk about real life scenarios about democracy, government, our liberties, and our freedoms. Things that we are not taught in the school system. And of course, why would a school system run by the government tell us that the government might not be all great for us? So please check out thehomeschoolhowto.com/Tuttle and use promo code Cheryl40. You can get the link and the code in my show's description.
So the other really interesting thing about the tunnels, have you ever heard of Phil Schneider? So no. Look him up. He was like a geologist that allegedly worked for the government, and he was hired to help basically dig out the underground tunnels, and they built underground military bases, and they would call him and say, hey, you're the expert. You're like the smartest guy. You know how to, what rocks to blow up, what way. So you're going to tell us how, you know, deep to dig it and what to use to blow it up. So he would go in, and he has a story that he claims that in New Mexico or somewhere they went down, and when they were digging these massive holes, they would drill down first. This like black soot came up. And they went down there and they claimed that aliens were legit down there and that a firefight ensued with green berets and these alien beings, and he was shot and he survived. He used to tour the country and talk about these underground bases that he helped the government kind of set up. And he says that they're interconnected and they're all over the U.S. There's hundreds of them, and they connect on these like really fast trains that levitate above the track, and they could go from LA to DC. He had 9, I think, attempts on his life, and they got him on the 10th or 11th.
I was going to say, how did they not kill
him? They finally got him. I think he actually had someone, he killed one of them that was trying to kill him. His like security did. But they eventually got him. His wife and kids had like a website in his name for years after. But this guy was going around in the late 90s talking about these underground bases and tunnels under the Denver airport, out in New Mexico, across all states. And I remember it just being so fascinating. Like, wow, they could really have an entire underground world down there. And we just don't even know it.
I tell you, if you watched this show on Netflix, I mean, it's amazing. And this was stuff back in like World War II, they were going down there and prior to that. So if they had the technology to build all this stuff, I mean, yes, a lot of it was prior to World War II because they were talking about ancient civilizations being down there. But like, of course we would have it now.
Yeah.
I mean, it, like you said before, some of the stuff, it's like, well, you know, you just got to think about it and be
like, why wouldn't they? Like you said, if they had it in the old days, it's like, why wouldn't they? Like, typically the crazy and weird things that they've done, they don't usually go away. They just go in the dark, behind the curtain, underground, you know, whether it be Bohemian Grove or these disgusting things that these Pizzagate people do. It's like that stuff, unfortunately, never stopped. It's just hidden, you know?
So now you have a four-year-old. What, like, how do you parent knowing, like, this is how our world, what are your goals in teaching him throughout the years? And, like, what do you want him to know by 18 or whatever the, you know, year is that they're supposed to flee from our care?
Right. Well, that's an interesting one, because I've got friends who tell me that, because for one, I just want kids to be kids for the most part. Like, I had a life of bliss and not knowing about any of this stuff up until 25. And I'm really grateful for that, because I kind of got to live without just being a kid and not worrying about it. I got to see both sides of the fence. I know what it's like to be asleep, you know, and believe in the lies. So I'm very grateful for all of that. But I'm obviously not just, you don't want them to be totally ignorant, because then they're going to grow up, when they get to be 18, they're going to be fighting with you just like the average person, because their indoctrination is complete. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, I'm going to work on finding a balance between letting them be kids and not knowing, you know, some things, but also, you know, preparing them for what the world is really like, you know, letting them decide what the truth is, letting them filter out the stuff, showing them how to research, showing them how the lie or the deceptions can be out there. You know, hey, you know, like, give an example, you know, you show them, here's what they said happened on 9/11. You know, maybe they learn about it and you go, okay, well, you show them a video and the building collapses and it shows the firefighters going, there was these explosions coming out and it was going boom, 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 boom. And then you ask them, hey, does that match up with what they said? And you're like, no, those guys made it sound like there were explosives in the building and they were there. That's eyewitness testimony. So it's like, I'm probably going to, you know, you want to introduce those things, I think, at the right time. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, I think that's a long-winded answer, but balance with being a kid and being prepared to understand what the world really is.
And what do you think the world might be like when your son is 18?
No idea. Because things are happening so fast now, and the whole technocracy merging with machines and the smart cities is a little terrifying. I don't know. I'm really hoping it's not a world where the majority of people think life is so miserable that they're just putting on VR goggles and going into the metaverse all day.
Did you ever watch the movie WALL-E?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping that we can prevent. I mean, some of it's inevitable, mm-hmm. but I really hope that we don't, you know, plug in like in the movies and stuff.
Yeah. And, oh, I was going to ask you, from what you mentioned earlier, have you seen all of the Cars movies?
Yes.
Okay. On the level of like what they're actually telling. I mean, all of the Disney sort of movies tell like.
No, enlighten me. No, tell me.
Okay. You're going to have to watch it again going through. Like, I went through it like a normal person just watching the Cars movies. My husband has a very like analytical mind. He does commercial HVAC. So he's doing like engineering type works every day. And he's like,
okay,
do you know what this movie's about? I said, no, what? Like, you know, the racing cars. He's like, they stole all the oil, put it onto an island, made everybody buy a different kind. And then at the end, when that kind didn't work, sold them the oil that they held captive on the island at higher prices. And it was when you were talking about them having other energy and stuff, it made me think of that.
Oh my gosh, you're right. You know, I'm not good with doing that with movies, because I will like check out and just watch the movie, you know, like,
enjoy life. What?
To me, right. To me, it was a kid's movie about cars.
Yeah.
So like a lot of times I won't, like, I've seen movies like for the Shining, for instance, I would never pick up on those clues. But you go back and you watch the moon landing clues in The Shining and you're like, oh my gosh, he was legit telling us
that. Ooh, the moon landing was fake. Oh, I didn't know that. Fake. I would be too afraid to watch that? The Shining. Oh, yeah. Anyway, no. I live in the country. Mm-mm.
You don't have to watch the whole movie, but watch like the clues in it, and they'll just point out the things that are placed in, and you're like, oh wow, none of that's not a coincidence. Like, things are named Apollo and like the number is the exact moon landing things, and it shows that like he's telling you it was faked.
Wow.
I don't necessarily, I'm pretty sure that Kubrick's daughter has admitted that she's like very, very sure that he didn't direct the moon landing. So I don't know if he actually did, but the movie still may be telling you that it was faked by them.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Which, oh, I have to bring up, I meant to bring it up when you were talking about your t-shirt for the high wire. I wore my t-shirt today. Yeah. Be the role model your government fears. That's my nice. Podcast
I like it.
T-shirt. So for That's anybody awesome. Listening that wants that t-shirt, go on to my website.
That's awesome.
Because yeah, we basically, if you're Good homeschooling, message. You've got to be the role model that the government fears, you know? Like, they don't want
right.
self-sustainable people. I think for myself, I want my kid to have a fun childhood, which is, you know, why he's not stuck in a classroom for 6 to 8 hours a day right now. But also to know real work, you know? He knows that he's got to go take care of the chickens and whatnot and, you know, do things. But even I want for him when he is 18 to be able to, like, maybe know a lot about building a house or how electricity works or things like, you know, that are real world stuff. Everybody goes to college for business or liberal arts. And it's like, where does that get you? That's what I did. And what does that get you? 16 years sitting in a cubicle in government work, not doing anything, pushing papers. And then now it's pushing emails. So I've been out on leave for 15 months now. I've started the podcast. I just wrote a children's book that's getting edited right now, and I'm looking for illustrators. Awesome. And yeah, I'm like, what to do in emergencies? Because when we were kids, I mean, we had a dial-up phone in our house. That's how you knew to call. Kids don't have that anymore. Like, a lot of houses don't have that, and your phone locks. So it's like, what does a kid do if there is an emergency? And
well, that's a really good point.
Yeah, so I didn't realize it till I was homeschooling that I'm like, all this curriculum is just about how to read. But like, what do you do if I pass out? Like, you know?
It's like all those, it's like that long list of things you could say about, oh, how come we're not taught how to balance a checkbook, how to do our taxes, how to avoid this and that. Like, just so many different nuanced things with real life that they don't, like survival skills, or, you know, like you said, different trade skills. I mean, I don't think they have shop class anymore. I feel like one of my grades were one of the last people to have it. Heck, they're not even driving real cars in driver's ed. In some schools, it's just virtual. So it's like they're taking away like the real life aspect of so much. And then you're going to have people that, like, all they know how to do is, like you said, go in a cubicle. I'm even guilty of some of that stuff. You know, I wasn't shown a whole lot of like gardening, and you know, there's random foods that you could have showed me in my 20s. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Have you ever seen that video of the kids in, I think it's in New York, but if someone comes in and brings in different fruits and vegetables and they're like, do you all know what these are? And the kids didn't even know. And I was like, wow. And that's exactly why I have a garden, because I'm trying to show, I want my son not to be ignorant of what a date is when he's 24 like I was.
No. And my mother was part of that. She was born in 47. She grew up in the 60s and was part of that women's movement that, like, yes, we go to work, you're going to be bottle fed and go to daycare. And so that's what I knew. So we grew up on takeout food. You know, she'd never learned to cook from her mother. But also she didn't have time to cook. So I didn't learn any of that. Right. My father's mother did all that stuff. She was from Poland, but she died when I was 8. So I don't know any of that stuff. And I'm trying to learn it now because his sister, she lives in Wisconsin. She'll come visit me. She'll send me cookbooks and she'll be like, here, this is, you need a pie dish. Let's buy you a pie dish. I'm like, really? So it's been like a total learning thing for me. But we have a garden.
Yeah.
The only thing that sucks is, like, you only get one chance a year to, like, perfect this garden. And, like, what you mess up on, you have to remember next year not to do that.
Right. I know. It's a total learning curve. I mean, I used to joke about how, man, look at all the money I have to spend and time I have to devote just to relearn things, just to not poison myself. You know, I got to buy water filtration systems and organic food and, you know, spend a little bit more money to eat at this restaurant because it doesn't have a bunch of processed crap. And now you're making all these decisions, you know, you're buying organic diapers or whatever you're doing, and there's just so much going on that they really do have, you do have a lot of work to do to stay like healthy and informed and like to have your kids on the right path. But again, the advice too, I want to give people from saying all this is like, don't beat yourself up. Like there are times when you're going to have a piece of candy. There are times when you're going to have French fries. Like there are times when you're going to watch a movie that's mindless. Enjoy that moment, because as long as you're not doing it all the time, and it's, you know, there's balance and moderation, like enjoy that one piece of cake for the occasion. Because I've had a good friend give a speech one time, and someone with a very bad mindset eating something like that is, you're just making it worse. You might as well be vibrating as high as possible as you eat that toxic food to help balance that out.
Oh, interesting.
You know, the upset person, the very, very angry person eating the organic salad may be having a more unhealthy experience than the person who's just elated with joy eating a Big Mac.
There you go. Oh, I love that.
So it's just like something to keep in perspective. Like I used to always hold that with me and think, you know what? I'm not going to beat myself up if I have, you know, the pizza or whatever. It's just like, you know, just savor it, enjoy it. And then make the decisions each day that you feel best are for you and the healthiest.
Yeah. And what I've, because it can get so overwhelming, what I've kind of thought about too is, all right, let's dial it into, okay, what can I control that we are getting injected with? And then what can I control that we're ingesting? And then what can I control that we are inhaling? And then what can I control that we're just like, maybe seeping, like lotions, you know, deodorant, lotion, sunscreen. Right. Okay. Well, then what can I control that we are, you know, maybe washing off like a soap.
I was a bit of a victim to that too, of like really stressing out in the beginning. Cause I was hosting the March Against Monsanto. So it was like no GMO foods. And I was like, well, I'm the guy who's hosting it. I can't ever eat like not organic food, you know? It's like, so it was really stressful in the beginning cause I was way too crazy about it. And now it's like, you're going to have some every now and then, you know, it's not, you're not going to be perfect, but like I said, it's just minimizing your exposure to the toxins is the key. You know, it's not a lethal dose. You know, one glass of water is not going to kill you with the fluoride, but if you are down in it for 20, 30, 40 years, that's when you may see the issue. So that's why we have to just like do our best each day.
Absolutely. Well, Justin, I've had you for almost an hour. Can you tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, we are Change Orlando on Facebook, YouTube, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, Justin_WeAreChange.
Awesome.
Oh, and if anyone wants to move to Florida, feel free to reach out to me. I'm a realtor by day, so I help people buy and sell homes here, and that directly helps me, you know, get into other shenanigans like confronting our mayor and speaking out more.
Well, I'm in New York, and a lot of New Yorkers are moving to Florida.
Oh, I know. We know.
I can't convince my husband, because since he does commercial HVAC, he works on a lot of roofs, and he was like, "I am not working on a Florida roof." So it's gonna have to be like
heat?
Tennessee for us. Yeah.
It's because of the heat.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You get used to it.
I'll tell him that. Yeah, I mean, it's like 10 below here for 6 months out of the year, so I don't know what he's complaining about. But thank you so much. I would love sometime to do like a live with you and Chris. It would be so fun.
Yeah, anytime.
Thank you so much. This was so informative. I'm sure we have provoked lots of thoughts in people, and hopefully they'll be able to sleep tonight. No.
I hope so.
I think
too.
You had great advice. Thank you so much, Justin. Have a great night.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or, if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.